Welcome back and happy Tuesday. I have yet another fascinating guest for you this week. We're going to be talking about something that we have maybe hit on a little bit, but definitely not to this depth. We're going to be talking about creating a productive culture. Those of you who have been with me some time know how important culture is to me. I talk about it a lot, not only through Tech Tuesday, but throughout my speaking. It's something that I care a lot about. And with that, I have a longtime friend and former colleague in Diane Spiegel, who is a cultural expert, and I'm so happy that she's here with us today. So Diane, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited for us to spend some time.
Absolutely. You and I have had countless hours and hours of conversations on this topic, and it is certainly an ever-evolving topic. Diane, you have had such a diverse and fascinating background in the sense of looking at things like culture, leadership, and HR from a variety of perspectives with, and really across industries, really industry agnostic, from everyone from Starbucks to Royal Caribbean to Jamba Juice, and then of course even in your current role with your, you know, as an adjunct faculty at the University of California, Irvine, where you are teaching about HR, communications, and leadership. So there's really no one better to talk to than you on this subject, especially because you've seen it from so many different lenses, and I'm very excited to dive in. So with that, culture is such a commonly talked about thing. It can mean different things for different people. So from Diane's perspective, when you are thinking about culture, what are you thinking about, and what does it mean to you?
Great question. So thank you for asking. Culture is different things to different people, and we see it in lots of different ways. When the way people speak about a company and the brand they work for, positively or negative, that speaks to culture. When we walk into somebody's office and we take a look around and how do people connect with each other? Is there quiet? Are people really mingling? We see that. We see that in employee engagement surveys, how much people are invested in, you know, in the culture in which they work. The statistics are very clear. When employees are not feeling engaged or they don't feel safe psychologically and physically, they don't have that element in your culture, then people are not going to give what we refer to as their discretionary income or income, their discretionary effort. The discretionary effort is that top layer, if you will, of new ideas and innovations and things that can make our businesses better. But in an environment where culture is especially bad, we talk about that as being a toxic environment, people retreat and they take care of themselves. So culture shows up in our brand. It shows up in the way we speak to each other. It shows up in leadership. It's showing up right now in a lot of organizations that are taking the opportunity to include in their cultural conversations what's going on in our world today. We've had a pretty amazing 2020 that's impacted people's cultures. The way we work, the way we connect, the way we communicate, lots of things have changed.
No, absolutely. And you know, culture really is just the DNA of the firm too. It's kind of, when you think about, there are plenty of reasons why you would be interested in a role or in a company, and then it gets, then you kind of look at the difference. Okay, you have the right compensation package, you have the right responsibilities, but then it's, what is the thing that gets you excited about going there every single day? What is the thing that connects and bonds you as individuals together as a collective group. So it's certainly a fascinating thing. And you and I overlapped and we actually met because, you know, as I mentioned, we were former colleagues. So you certainly have looked at this cultural lens from the financial services industry. So when you think about it from financial services and fintech, so everything that kind of encompasses that world, from your perspective and what you've seen, where are the gaps and why are there gaps there?
Great. So one of the gaps that I see is the diversity of the way people are in terms of who they are, right? So let's talk about what diversity is. Diversity looks like the way somebody actually looks. It's our age, it's our ethnicity, it's our language, it's our experiences, it's our educations, it's where we come from. Not just the color of our skin or our gender, which we talk a lot about. It's that whole encompassing thing. And that in the financial tech industry, we don't see quite as much diversity, both in women and certainly people of color. And the downside to that and what gap that creates is it tends to sort of tunnel vision or look through much less of a wider lens than what's needed for the ever-changing pace of the world right now. When we look out at our communities, the communities that that FinTech serves? Does our company look like our communities? Are we reflective of those people we serve and those that will be coming? There is more mixed cultural people in the world than ever before. And we have a high need to go out there and make sure those folks are not just represented, but we are actively recruiting them and looking at opportunities for their growth and their development. So you talk about it as the employee experience, right? So when one of the things I also see the gap is in the recruiting process and in the mentoring and guiding process. So what are we as an industry doing to go out to high schools and even before that, and certainly college campuses and recruiting centers and places to say, did you know? We have these amazing opportunities in this industry. Here's the things that we do. Come and join us. Let us sponsor you. Come and take a look at what we do. This may be something you want to look at for your career.
No, absolutely. And I think the recruiting aspect is key, and whether or not it's something that maybe is an immediate connection for them, it's something that they could remember. And I remember the way that felt. I remember how that was presented to me and the things that I liked about that. And that certainly should continue on once they join the company as well, and really feel like they're part of that. And I think that's one thing that we've seen a bit too, is the idea that you hear about this great culture, and then all of a sudden you get on board, and it's not always the same way that you had perceived it to be. So there's certainly some looking there. So I'd say to be mindful of time. What can we do? Where do we go from here? So what are some immediate things that we can do to help, move the needle and really have an impact?
Right. Great question. So I think one of the first things people can do within the teams they work and the companies that they serve, let's take a look and say, what's current state? Where are we in terms of our employees' perception of what we're doing? Some very quick questions on a pulse survey, an engagement survey, asking folks, are we communicating about this topic enough? Are we diverse enough? Because at the end of the day, our goal from this current state to go forward is that thought diversity. How do we get people from every different idea and walk to come and work at our organization? So that thought diversity, which contributes in a big way to innovation and collaboration and next steps. So where are we now? Where are the missing links, right? We have a tendency to hire in our own image. We have a tendency to hire people who look and talk like us. Why is that? Because that makes us feel real comfortable. I really want to shake that up. I want people to really question that and say, I need to take another look at somebody who may come from a different place, whether that means they're much too quiet or much too extroverted, even things like that. We sometimes unconsciously or consciously have a bias about how well they're going to fit into our culture. So my recommendation is shake it up, bring some new talent in that may have different ideas and look and talk and have different experiences.
Yeah, you made a very good point there as well, in that it is just naturally we do gravitate towards people who give us positive affirmation on the train of thoughts that we have. But there's plenty of statistics and research to show that the best leaders are ones who hire people who challenge them, who think differently than them, and who are experts in areas where they're not, because that's when you have a really well-rounded team. And to me, I'm a big believer in continuous growth. And so I actually look for those people who tell me that the way that I'm thinking, not necessarily is wrong, but that here's how you could be thinking about it differently. Here's how you could build from those aspects. So love that. Diane, thank you so much. So many great notes there. I know you have so many other thoughts, and some of those will be encapsulated in the Q&A below. So for all of you, please click on the link below. You will have Diane and I's full conversation and Q&A. If you have any other further questions, you can reach both of us below. Diane's contact information will be on there. I love this conversation. I'm sure we will get back to this in a few months to continue to see where we're at and where we're going. And thank you so much for your time, Diane. It was lovely having you.
Thank you, Scarlett.
And for all of you, until next week, looking forward to seeing you.